Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're listening to us here. I hope you've been having a great summer. Many, many kids back in school, two that are not, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
And I hope that you're having a great day there in Laguna Beach. I am here by Skype, and it's just the best we could do today, which is kind of what all of us hopefully are doing every day, doing the best that we can do. But a lot of times we're really not doing the best that we can do because we haven't taken the time to learn some new tools, gain some tools, some new ways to communicate and relate. We just kind of give up. And so it isn't really true all the time when people say, well, I did the best that I could. Maybe not. What do you guys think?
I think that's true, Steve. I think it's so much easier to keep doing what we have always done. And we think, well, this time we'll get it right, instead of realizing that it doesn't work and we really need to reflect and do some things differently.
Sometimes we hear people put things into broad categories of what they've tried as well. You know, like, mm-hmm. I tried counseling.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I know.
You know, it sounds like sometimes somebody with food poisoning say, well, I tried eating.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that particular counselor wasn't the best
or
one.
Maybe or
that
you needed to go more,
yeah,
or say more.
Right, or I tried church, or mm-hmm. I tried, you know. And we have to remember that that sometimes it takes a little looking around and finding the right answer, even with medicines sometimes. Well, I tried medicine. Well, there's other medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And so this trail of, you know, that we go down in life to getting better in all areas it's a process that has, you know, a few U-turns in it and a couple of false starts and a few steps forward, a few steps back, and it's a process. But the promise is that we know is true, and the testimony of gazillions is true, is that even if you go through 40 years wandering around in a desert, God will take you to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So you just That's keep right. walking
mm-hmm.
towards
Don't give
him
up.
And you'll find a path.
Yeah, and even especially when you think he's not being fair to you, or you're not getting a fair shake, you just let his will and his plan for life play out, and don't judge him by your circumstances, and just wait till your circumstances change. I want to mention September 4th, New Life Live's coming to Houston, and we'll be at Calvary Chapel, and it's at 7 o'clock on September the 4th, and we would love to meet you there. Also, the board of directors here at New Life, as we've talked about, have decided to come up with their own money to get you a membership to tv.newlife.com between now and the end of the year. So the sooner you do it, the bigger the benefit it is. And here's the deal. If you increase your Club New Life giving by $10, they will put in the money so that you get a gift of the television network, tv.newlife.com. And so since New Life gets half of that from tv.newlife.com, it's really giving New Life $15. And it's a great, great thing. So, and if you join at $40, they'll do the same thing. They'll come up with the money to to be sure that you can be a member at tv.newlife.com. So come be part of that. I think you'll love it.
I think that this culture teaches women that you should look a certain way, you should act a certain way, you should be available for your husband. They view sex as their marital duty. So many of them do not view sex as their marital delight. And that is sad to me, because I don't think that most men are looking for a wife who's just willing to be a sexual doormat. They're looking for an interested and motivated sex partner. There is nothing sinful about our sexual desires for one another in marriage.
The Passion Principles for Women workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 10th through the 12th. Best-selling author of Every Woman's Battle, Shannon Etheridge, will help you understand female sexuality, expose the deeper meaning behind sexual thoughts, integrate sexuality and spirituality, and connect with your husband, mind, body, and soul. For more information or to register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or online at newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud. And let's go to Isabella, Washington, D.C. I hope they've got the fires contained. That's Washington, D.C. Yeah, we were just there. I was thinking Washington State and all those horrible fires. But Isabella, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty well. And how could we help you today?
Yes, sir. I have a question. My son is 29 years old. He just
29.
Told 29 years. He just told me he's gay. And obviously it was a shock to me. And he was asking for support. I don't know how to support him. I told mm-hmm. him I can love him, but the support, I don't know how to support him.
Why don't you just ask him? Ask him what would feel supportive to him.
Yes, I did ask him. He said, if I can introduce my boyfriend to you. I told him, not now, because I'm still under shock. I don't know how I would react.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he understands. Then that's my first question. The second one, how do I have to tell my husband, or is he the one, should he be the one to tell his dad about this?
Tell us a little bit about his dad.
Tell his father that he's gay, because his father...
No, what's his dad like? Would it put him in some sort of danger to tell his dad? I mean...
Jesus, no. My husband, he doesn't like gay homosexuals. He says it to anyone who wants to understand, who hears it. He even says that they deserve to die. That's how extreme he is. So
wow.
I am
torn.
I don't know, if I don't tell him, he will say, how could you be my wife and hide me such a
right.
thing to me?
Sure.
I don't know.
So. Did you and your son talk about the idea of telling his dad?
Yes, I told him. You know, I'm shocked, and I don't know how your dad is going to feel about this, because he clearly knows where we are as mm-hmm. far as homosexual. I'm a Christian. My husband is a Muslim, but he's worse. He cannot support even, he doesn't like the person. I said, I can love a gay person, but I hate what they do, because it's against mm-hmm. everything the Bible teaches me.
Yeah.
So, right. And that's where I don't know what to do, because...
Well, Isabel, it sounds like that you and he have a pretty good relationship. I mean, he's talking to you, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, he is. Actually, we were very close until he went to college, and he finished. Mm-hmm. That's when he discovered that he was.
Yeah.
He started... keeping far from me, and I thought maybe he was busy in college. He had a lot of work to do, because he's a lawyer. He was doing law. He had a lot. Every time I talked to him, he said he had a lot of work to do. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that you guys do have a pretty good connection, and he's talking to you, and I think the best way to be supportive of him is to talk to him and just show him that, you know, you love him. And it sounds like with where his father is that that's, you probably should talk to him, not his father. You probably should talk, I think, that it's his to tell his father.
Okay.
And and that you should talk to him about that, because it sounds like it really could have some kind of extreme repercussions in their relationship.
Yeah. But I would talk to him about it, you know, and the dilemma that you are in.
Yeah.
And what does he think about?
Tell him how it puts you in a weird spot.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay.
Steve?
Well, I hope that's helpful. That's pretty tough. And I think one of the things that you want to say to him is that you want me to accept you. You need to be sure and accept me in my state of shock, and you need to accept the fact that your father is going to be devastated, and that's part of acceptance too. So don't expect that your father can overnight say, okay, this is my son and I love him. It's going to take time for him to adjust to that reality. And so you tell your son he's going to need to be as accepting as he wants you to be of him. All right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very
much. Okay. I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution for you and your husband, and I hope that that will be something that will help you there. Now, let's go to Linda from Fountain Valley. And Linda's listening to KKLA. Hi, Linda. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Sure, yeah.
Okay,
how you doing?
I spoke to you a little earlier about my situation with my son who disowned me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what I could do. I did try reaching out about a month later and told him that I really missed him and his wife and their baby, and that I love them, and wondered what I could do to be back on good terms.
Yeah.
And
what was his response to that when you just, you know, made that simple plea?
Well, he said that he didn't want a relationship with me and that there were several reasons why. And so I asked him if he wouldn't mind if I write them down when he tells them to me, because it was very upsetting, and I didn't know that I would remember. And he said that would be fine if I could write it down. And so I wrote him down, and then I read it back to him, and he said, yes, that's right. That's what I said and what I meant. And then he hung up, and that was 7 months ago.
Wow. That's amazing.
So can we just recap, since, Linda, we talked to you on a previous show. You have a son that's 33 years old. He is married, and he has kind of a very rigid way of approaching things, and was really involved in church, and then had a conflict with a friend, and then left the church, and has been really angry towards Christians, and then recently has disowned you.
Yes.
Correct? And said that you were angry, malicious, flaky, things like that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So then you tried to approach him and you wrote down the things he said, and then he's not talked to you since.
That's right. And I haven't tried to contact him because I felt like he made it pretty clear that he was finished with me, and he disowned his brother a couple of years ago and he hasn't.
Why did he disown his brother?
His brother had been having problems with drug addiction and alcoholism, and was asking him for money repeatedly.
Got it. Okay, so what's going on? I remember right at the end of the call, you said that he's married.
He is married, and they do have a child.
Right, and so what's it? How's his wife do with him?
She is just very patient. She's wonderful. She she just tells me that she just waits. You know, if it's not a good time, if he's not in a good mood, or says things that aren't kind,
is she talking to you?
Out.
Is she talking to you?
No.
She's not either.
Okay. No.
Well, these are hard ones, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
It sounds like he shut a lot of people out. But just on what you said, if I were in your shoes, what I would do is just every now and then, you know, send him a note of some sort and say, I miss you. I hope sometime that we can work out our relationship because I'd like to have a relationship with you. That I'm totally open to trying to make it better. And if you could tell me, you know, what it would take on my part to overcome that list or treat you in a way that would be helpful, I'd really want to know. And so, and you just, that's the best you can do, and kind of put it out there in his, you know, sort of on his side of the court. And the other thing is, at some point, I think you could invite him to go sit down with a good family counselor with the two of you.
Right, and I've thought of doing that, and my question for you is, because he's so against Christians, and I would want to go to a Christian counselor.
Well, but he doesn't.
He would be comfortable with that.
Yeah, okay, so go to a good family counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just start somewhere, right?
Right.
And I might, you know, when you do contact him, you know, because here you've got a grandchild that now you don't get to see.
Horrible, horrible sadness.
Right, right. So, you know, that would be, you know, I want to work things out with you. At the very least, you know, can we visit our grandchild or have the grandchild over?
Linda, when you guys talk, the fact that he doesn't like Christians and that you want to see a Christian, how much front and center is the whole topic of God and Christian in between the two of you?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Well, do you talk to him a lot about God and being Christian? And
No, I don't, because anytime I have brought it up, even just in passing, like, oh, you know, amen to that, or, you know, something like that, he literally runs out of my house and drives away.
Wow.
If I say God, Bible, or church.
Yeah. Sounds like he's pretty touchy for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Touchy.
I think, you know, what we talked about earlier, just taking a stance of being open and reaching out to him and also inviting him for help is about the best thing that you can do.
Yeah. I got to believe it goes way beyond what happened back there when in Sunday school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope someday he can work through that because, man, he is really a radical rejecter of people, especially Christians. I feel for him. He must be in amazing pain. So, Well, let me send you a copy of Henry's book, The Mom Factor, so that you can develop as much insight as you can to make the situation as good as it possibly can be. And that's on its way to you. All right. You know, boy, that is tough. And Henry, I was thinking the exact same thing that you were about, you know, maybe religion, Christianity, faith has been thrown in his face too much, but it sounds like that she doesn't do that. So, very tough. All right, let's go to Jose from Orlando, Florida, WTLN. Hi, Jose, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call. And I'll be brief. Basically, my wife, for some reason, is having a little bit of persecution, delusional thoughts. Very intelligent person and beautiful and caring. And it's been happening for about a year. I don't believe she realized, obviously, the little bit of illogical or suspiciousness to other thoughts that she's having. She lost her job, and one of the thoughts is that she believes that she has been pranked or followed from possible employers to see how she performed, or that people get into her email account or things like that.
Mm.
So she's really paranoid.
A little bit of pain, actually, and I'm a little bit distressed. So I don't really know how to deal with it. So sometimes we argue, and I'm trying to tell her I don't see that, but don't seem to be helping.
How
can I help?
How old is she?
59, and very intelligent, coming from degrees and everything.
Has she ever had any kind of problem like this before?
Not exactly. I wouldn't say, no, maybe sometimes you get a little bit distressed, but this is more than never, really. I mean, this is, I can touch it with my hands. I'm sure other people notice, but, you know, people are afraid to opinionate, but she has a strong character also.
Okay. Well, you hold on, and we're going to give you some help as soon as we get back. You're listening to New Life Live. I'm glad you are.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and talking with Jose, whose wife he says is delusional. Sounds like she's really paranoid and afraid people are getting into her email and all of that. Jill, Henry, well, what do you
and
think?
And Jose, have there been any events that have occurred recently prior to all of this starting that would maybe add to her suspiciousness?
Well, she's always been a suspicious person,
okay.
But it has really magnified heavily. I would say maybe there were some family issues.
Like what?
Childhood from very close family members.
You mean recently?
Very old in the past.
But nothing in the last couple of years that's been traumatic in any way?
It's just the last several months, especially after she lost her job and then applied for another job and everything like...
So she lost her job?
I'm sorry?
She lost her job?
Yeah, she lost her main job.
That's pretty, okay.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So,
yes.
Jose, does she have a doctor that she talks to and trusts?
She has family doctor, but... You know, I have, when I mention, I'm even afraid to mention it. She's a very strong will, and I don't have leverage to say, I believe you need to see somebody. I don't have the leverage because I'm part of the team persecuting him, supposedly.
So she sees you as part of this whole system as well.
Yeah, huh. She sees me or sometimes other family members part of their system. But it's really, I mean, I don't think it's heavily, she's operational, but it's not, you know, she's fully functional. Not to 100% capacity, but this is being a limiting factor.
Well, sometimes, Jose, if somebody's got, you know, a little of that sort of in the background, they go through a big life event, like losing a job, it can trigger depression, and sometimes if people have depression, they can have some paranoid stuff that goes with it. It could trigger a bunch of different stuff. We don't know. But the kind of thing that you're talking about where now there's a little bit, it's going to a system where you're part of the system.
Right.
That's significant. Yeah. And what I would want you to do is talk to a good psychiatrist, even though she won't go. You know, I would start with just calling one and describing the problem there locally. And they have ways of either getting them in or, you know, some other things that they can do. But I would not ignore this the way that you've described it. Whenever the closest people begin to get integrated into the system, then that speaks to a lot of alienation that she's feeling. And that needs to be addressed before it gets worse.
So you think that the psychiatrist might lead to her being admitted to a program, Henry?
There's a whole range of options.
Insight, because he can go more in depth with all of the symptoms, and there's a lot of possibilities.
Okay. I don't think they're that deep in that because he would talk to you very clearly and concise. But people more close, you would tell these thoughts that are, to me, logical, and to others. So she could be here, but she's still having these thoughts. I know they're happening also.
Right. Well, and are you able to converse with her about other things? You know, how is this impacting your relationship if you're becoming part of, you know, her suspicions?
Well, because, no, I don't have leverage.
I hear that you don't have leverage, but will she share her feelings with you about other things? Were you able to talk about the loss of her job and transitioning to the new?
Yes, I could, but not a lot, because then the conversation becomes a little bit agitated.
Okay.
And sometimes, because my ignorance on this, I kind of start arguing. You're not seeing things the way they are, I would say something like that. Then I've become a little bit of a distress confrontational.
Yeah, okay. Well, it really sounds
like...
She might
get so angry, I avoid it.
Okay, okay. I can see where you're avoiding confrontation. And, I was thinking more, just letting her express how she's feeling and just being supportive in that.
Okay.
Not to correct her. Like, don't correct her, because you want her to kind of maybe start to see, that she's a little off, or be able to come out of her alienation a bit by you being someone who is supportive in her world.
Okay. Okay, I read about that actually today. I was doing the opposite.
Okay, so you're going to talk about things where you don't have to argue, you're safe, and you talk about safe things that she maybe wouldn't have a need to be defensive about, all right?
That's good, because right now even she said, no, we should get divorced and all that, and I know that we'll never do that, because it's not time to get out, it's time to get in, so I'm not into it.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you Jill's book, The Secrets That Women Keep, and I hope that will be a blessing to you. And really hope you'll follow Henry's advice, because I think he's got it's the option that could make the biggest difference is a good psychiatrist. So make that phone call. Don't wait till it's too late to call and ask if somebody needs some help. You get that help for them. And if you need information about a person, a diagnosis, a situation that you're feeling or someone else is, one of the great resources is tv.newlife.com. And I hope that you'll take the time to check it out if you haven't. We talk about it a lot because we've seen now that it is changing lives. People are excited about it. They love it. And, man, it is up close, personal, and face-to-face. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. I'm with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And for a gift of any amount, I will send you a copy of Henry's new book, Never Go Back. It really is a powerful book, and there are 10 different areas that he addresses that you never want to go back to. And you just need to read this book. It's really, really a powerful book. Dr. Jill Hubbard's newest book is For Giving Our Fathers and Mothers. And a lot of people are hung up, don't understand it, what's going on, because they have never really walked through that forgiveness process, and that's what we're hoping that you will do. Let's go to Annette in San Bernardino. Yes, Jill.
Steve, I just wanted to add one more thing regarding Jose and his wife, because he made the comment at the end that he was kind of doing the opposite of being supportive of her. And sometimes with someone like this, it isn't about, you know, deciphering the facts. Sometimes you have to move toward a person and join with them and let them be heard so that they can kind of, you know, and almost kind of follow it through their pattern of thinking so that they can hear it. And one, they're being heard, and two, they're kind of hearing it back and can often sometimes see things in a supportive context that they can't in a combative one.
Very good. Good point. All right. Now let's go to Annette in San Bernardino, watching us on NRB television. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I've been working for a nonprofit Christian school for almost 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the school year, I was told that my contract would no longer be renewed.
I wasn't
getting fired. I wasn't getting terminated. They just weren't going to renew my contract. So I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody to say, well, what happened, what was wrong, defend myself, or, you know, hear the other side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I mean, this is me talking. It was almost just kick me to the curb kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so by me not being allowed to do that, you know, you don't work someplace for 24 years and it not be
Excuse me.
It's okay.
No, I understand. It's hurtful. It's painful. Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hurtful. And I've worked under a lot of different bosses, and so I've never had any, you know, like a complaint. So it was if I got blindsided, if I didn't really understand what happened. So.
Was there any kind of change in administration or anything? Or was it the people you've had long-term relationships with?
No, we've had several different bosses, and this last one, totally different for the last 4 years. And so I think why it's hurting me so much is that it is a Christian place, and I expected a little bit more grace, a little bit more courtesy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so when you ask, so what's the reason for this? What did they say to you?
I was told from the one person that, you know, you're not being fired. We're not terminating you at all. You're just, you know, you're just not renewing your contract. And then the other person told me that I had gotten a parent complaint. And I said, okay, well, what exactly, you know, what it is, but they wouldn't tell me what it was.
Hmm.
Also, they're going around now and telling people that, you know, I've retired.
Hmm.
Not the truth. And so it's kind of, I'm like, my goodness, you know, it's either the truth or a lie. I don't go into the gray area. I don't compromise. And I kind of, be honest with you, the first week I kind of went along with it, but I got under such conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, so the four people that I had said, you know, kind of went along with it, I had to go back and ask their forgiveness and repented and said I was sorry, but this is the truth.
Well,
so
I want to hear what Jill and Henry say. My suggestion is that you go to the head of the organization and ask for a meeting, and you tell them that you would like to know what happened, because several different versions are out there, and it's a Christian institution, and people ought to be telling each other the same thing and telling others, and you want to know why. You heard there was a parent complaint. What was that about? Why didn't somebody talk to me about it?
Won't do it. It's nonprofit. They don't have to tell you anything. It's a free will contract.
Annette, I'm wondering if there is a school board or a parent board that would be a place for you to be able to talk and have some closure. Because a lot of times, whoever is in charge, depending on how it's set up, you know, it kind of trickles down from the top. So if there is someone in a position of authority that is the major influence in how things are handled, you know, then everybody else is affected by that. So a parent board is a little bit more independent.
It's family run, so that's...
Okay.
And then my problem is this, is I'm being led by the Spirit, and I know anytime something major like this happens, you don't make a decision right away. You know, you get yourself calmed down in the hurt and all that. It also was my church. And so...
Yeah. Oh, it's so hurtful. I mean, I really
feel for you,
Annette. And actually, I've heard of similar situations like this. And unfortunately, just because it's a Christian school or a Christian place, you know, it's filled with imperfect people who don't always act in, you know, the way we think that Christians should act. And, you know, they have other reasons for doing things. And, you know, too, when you have decided that maybe it's time for somebody to move on and it's not a desire of theirs, there's not an easy way to do that. But I agree with you. Certainly not telling the truth, you know, is a hard thing.
I wasn't comfortable with that at all.
Mm-hmm. And I think, therefore, you know, you can tell the truth. You know, when you are asked or with people you come in contact with. I don't think it's fair that you are silenced.
No. No way.
You know, that
so,
if the truth...
I don't want to go to the church, but I don't want them to run me off. I don't want to have any kind of... One thing I haven't had to deal with is the anger. That has never been one of my... I feel like I'm going through mourning.
Yes.
The loss.
Well, that's a big loss. You've been there for a long time.
Huge.
Yeah.
And
well, I want to send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope that will be of help to you in dealing with all of this. And God bless you, Annette. I just hate it, you know, when these things happen.
I do too.
Oh, if I was in her position, I would be so hurt.
Yeah.
I worked with a guy that he went on vacation after working at a place 20 years, and they sent him a letter and said, don't come back to work.
Yeah.
Unbelievable what people do.
People deserve better than that. And, you know, the other thing, you know, is as you deal with the grieving is to see that perhaps, you know, I mean, your time has come to an end, obviously, but that, you know, God may be allowing this because it's time for you to be somewhere else. And sometimes we would never leave and wouldn't see the handwriting on the wall.
Right.
So,
yeah,
it's just painful.
I mean, you know, if the people don't want me on radio, I hope they'll come tell me, you know, rather than just cut off my line one day. Wouldn't that be horrible?
Whoops, your microphone has gone dead.
Bye-bye. Not connected anymore. Okay, let's go to Eugene in Huntsville, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi there.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
Sure. Well, thank you.
I have a great marriage. Just the second, my wife and I, second marriage of 14 years. We've gotten along great. It's just I feel like we just don't have a lot in common. I kind of jokingly asked her one day why she was still around, just because of a lot of the situations at the house, and she said that, well, she just has too much to lose, and I really don't think that was the answer I wanted. I wanted something like, because I love you, we're so intimate, we're all this, so...
Do you guys feel like you are?
I don't feel very intimate. I don't think we're really close intimately with each other. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you don't feel that, why were you hoping that she would say that?
I really just kind of jokingly asked. I really wasn't expecting really any kind of a reply, serious, until... And then when she said that she had too much to lose, I thought, well, where are we going?
Good question.
Well, that is a good question.
Yeah, But that's a pretty tough thing for someone to respond to. Why are you staying around?
I mean, that's
kind of a bold,
whether you realized it or not, you were kind of asking
the
question that you've come to now.
All right. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll give you some help here. You're listening to New Life Live. Don't forget, September 4th, we're coming to Houston with New Life Live in Houston.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be. And I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here talking to Eugene, and his marriage is really in trouble here. Eugene, did you have a specific question that you wanted to ask us?
I guess I want to know what can I do to improve my marriage? What do you have that could draw us closer mm-hmm. together or just improve it? It's everything's good, but I just think it should be better.
Well, wait a minute, Eugene. That's what's confusing to me, because you said that everything's good. You said we've had a really good marriage, but then you said you don't have anything in common and you don't feel close to her. And then when you talked about it, and she didn't give you the answer that you said would have been, oh, well, we're so close and intimate, that was disappointing, but you don't feel that way either. So can you see how there's like a lot of mixed messages in here?
I do.
Yeah.
I guess to throw a little bit more, I'm in my late 50s.
Uh-huh.
She's in her late 40s. I have a lot of health issues. She's never even had a cavity. I have a brother that's been out of work and living with us for a while, and
wow.
It's just I just think she has a lot on her plate. She's a professional. I really just know she could do much better, and that was, I guess that's what kind of sparked the question. Just jokingly, like, yeah, why are you even still here? So anyway,
well, she told you that she has a lot to lose, so apparently mm-hmm. there's a lot there that she really loves. And she's committed. But as you're, you know, if you just took everything that you said, and it might be helpful to go back and replay it, you know, on the website, and just listen to it and picture that as a conversation with her. In other words, if you said, you know what, I love you, I want us to have a really good marriage. Sometimes I feel like we got a good marriage, and sometimes I feel like we're far apart, and sometimes I don't feel like you really want to be here, but you do, and I'm grateful for it, and I know we got, you know, my brother living here and a bunch of stuff, and so can we just start to talk about it, and how can we get closer, and just begin to communicate with her about what you've communicated with us, and if y'all don't have that ability, then go sit down with someone who can help you.
And Eugene, you know, I think it sounds like you are a bit fearful that she might leave or that she would leave, and that maybe you're even feeling a bit depressed about kind of where you're at with your health issues. And you realize that, you know, there are some things that you've put on her plate, like your brother, that is a burden.
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
And I kind of hear...
That is true.
Right?
That's why it'd be good to just
right,
talk about that.
Because even the comment, I don't even know why you're still around, is kind of an insecure statement.
Yeah.
Right?
I see. Yes,
I'm surprised you haven't given up on me and moved on to someone more successful like you. It just sounds like you really are in a desperate situation.
Or yes, in a really down place and not seeing the value of you guys having been together for the last 14 years and all that you've created. That suddenly when times get tough, she's going to be out the door.
I think it's just that she's climbed to a position in her work now that where she is completely around professionals, and I just can't picture, I guess I just can't picture all of them having the troubles that other people have or stuff. I don't know. I really at times I think I'd almost rather her not have to put up with all the stuff she does with
it. No, all sorts
That's
of
awful,
feelings
Eugene.
Coming out here, Eugene, and I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry that you're going through this. But,
and
you
if you are feeling that way, Eugene, I think you need some good supportive men around
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that you're feeling the strain of all this. And one of the ways that, you know, men are able to be strong for their women is because they're in a tribe, you mm-hmm. know, with other men that support them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have that, Eugene?
I can. I don't at the moment, but I can. I have a lot of strong Christian brothers that we used to have a lot of Bible studies together and stuff. I just need to get back in it.
You need to gather them around you. Yeah.
Well, okay. I like your term there, Henry. You need a tribe.
Mm-hmm. You do.
And a lot of men that don't have a tribe do really ridiculous things. And we need somebody that can help us make good, strong decisions. And one of my favorite verses is, thinking themselves wise, they became as fools. And that's why you've got to have good counsel around you, strong men around you, as well as reading the Bible and attending men's groups and getting to church and growing. I just wonder if the two of them have any time together where they're on an equal footing, reading Scripture mm-hmm. together or praying together. I'll send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution and the Bible that goes with it, and I hope that that will be a blessing to you. It's worth a try. 7 things to stop, 7 things to start, and the most valuable 7 minutes that you can spend together every day. And, you know, the whole thing is based on this study that the Center for Biblical Engagement did that found out unless you're willing to engage in Scripture at least 4 days out of 7, it's not really helping you. Don't you think that is amazing that they found that out, that you have to be there more days than not?
Like good advice for most relationships.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. But it is, it does help. And I hope and pray that you'll do it. Supposedly, their study showed that when you come together 4 out of 7 times a week, it lowers the chance of use of pornography by 59% and also divorce by 59%. And there are all sorts of things that it helps to eliminate when you read the Bible together, or maybe you just pray together and then read a little Scripture or something. But you engage with each other and engage in Scripture, and you benefit from it. For a gift of any amount of money, I'll send you a book that can also help, and it's called Never Go Back. 10 different areas that you never want to go back to and do again because they mess up your life. And it is amazing how we are distorted in our thinking. We have a kind of a bias that's really a little more positive than it should be because we see things that affirm what we believe already or anything that looks like it's easier, we kind of go toward that. And you need a book to tell you the reality, because we do have these biases. And one of these biases is a confirmation bias, that we only will adhere to something that says we're really brilliant and true and right. So take this book, and it will eliminate some things from your life that you might go back to and really mess up. And we'll, for a gift of any amount, we'll send you this wonderful book. It's called Never Go Back, and I hope that you don't. If you want information in a way that we've never been able to present it before, it's tv.newlife.com. Go there, and when you need help, New Life. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or newlife.com, and you can find out all about the workshops that we do there. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jill. God bless all of you. Have a great day today, and have a new and better life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.